Good morning again.
Good morning.
Again, it's great to be with you. Now, on your bulletin, it says the fourth Sunday of Epiphany, I believe. And, you know, it actually is. But bishops always do this. We breeze into town and we start changing things. The blessing you'll receive today is I also breeze out of town and leave. So, you know, that'll happen as well. But we're celebrating the confession of St. Peter, your patron saint. And that's where the readings came from. And I'm thankful for that because that's where this sermon comes from too and what I'm preaching about today. Peter was the first one to recognize Jesus for who he truly was. That's why the confession of St. Peter, as this day is called, is so important and so celebrated. Peter finally saw and named Jesus for what he was and who he was. And that's usually a good thing, no matter who we are, when someone sees us for who we truly are. Sometimes we see that just as they are seeing it, but more often than not, I think what people see us to be, we often don't see at all. We need that reflection back from other people. This can go both ways, of course. Sometimes people see us as far better than we are, see value in us that we can't see ourselves, and sometimes they reveal to us maybe a more sinister side that we had not seen, a side we perhaps wish we didn't possess. Either way, it's good, I think, to have our companions on the way to be a mirror for us, to reflect back what they see in us to us, so we might see ourselves a bit more clearly. Peter did this for Jesus. When he confessed, "You are the Christ," Jesus responded, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That had to be a surprise to everyone around, and perhaps a surprise to no one more than Peter himself, because Peter was a rather simple, rugged fisherman. He had hardly been seen by any who knew him up until then as someone destined for greatness, let alone someone that the Savior of the world would base and build his whole church upon. But there it was. Jesus saw Peter for who he was, and more importantly, for who he was to become. You need to remember, Peter was not any great shakes among the disciples. His track record in the camp was not all that good. He was the one that attempted to walk on the sea and sank. It was he who impulsively wanted to build three tabernacles on Mount Tabor after the Transfiguration, more or less missing the whole point and having Jesus tell him so. Perhaps the greatest failure was his denial of Jesus three times leading up to the crucifixion. There is perhaps no lower point in the New Testament, and one where all of us cringe just a bit when we hear it. So, so very glad that we're not Peter. We are, you know, but that's another sermon. But Jesus didn't really see all those things, or what I believe he did was see those and then even more watched how Peter came back from those, rose from those, left those behind and kept going forward. He remembered that Peter was the one who risked his life to do the Lord's work, speaking boldly in belief of Jesus, especially after those denials, which after seeing where that got him and got Jesus, Peter vowed not to do again. Peter was one bold enough to move the church beyond the Jewish community. He opposed the baptism of Gentiles at first, but then had the humility to change his mind. And Jesus was smart enough and wise enough to see the greatest strength in that kind of vulnerability. It is surely to me a much greater leader who's willing to say, "I don't know everything." Or even more, that someone else might actually be able to teach me something. We certainly are not seeing much of that in our leaders of late, and I think we shall surely pay for it soon. That kind of blindness and arrogance always ends in disaster. Was Peter perfect after this confession? No way. But he also never forgot Jesus' words to him, Jesus' confidence in him, Jesus' call to him. In that sense, he had a power to draw upon when he failed. Peter, over and over again in legend and in reality, faltered, stumbled, retreated, and then came to his senses. The legend of Peter fleeing Rome during the persecution by Nero which almost certainly happened, was cowardly, really. He fled like everyone else. He got out. He retreated. Even after this famous confession, he still ran. While in retreat on the Appian Way, legend says he met Christ. He saw a vision of Christ, and he asked him, Domine quo vadis, Lord, where are you going? And Christ replied to Peter, I'm going to Rome to be crucified again. And at those words, Peter, convicted, turned around. He walked back into Rome, and shortly thereafter was crucified, head down. For as he put it, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord was. Peter turned around. Again and again, that is what conversion is, my friends. That's what repentance looks like, turning around. For some, that happens once, and that's all it takes. And for some of us, many of us, most of us, conversion and for sure repentance has to happen over and over again. We flee the world, and then we see Christ, and we turn around. It can happen the other way, too. We can, in fact, begin to trust in the world, to become part of it so much that we forget who we are and even more whose we are, and this can be just as dangerous. In the days to come, the same will be true for us all. The world will tell us in what and in whom to put our trust. There will be much in that which will look promising. It will look right. In other words, it will all make sense. We will be told what to fear, what and who to reject, even who to be. That's where this question that Jesus asked Peter will become so very important as a question to us. I challenge you to carry it, to think about it, to let it be the Christ you meet along the way when you're fleeing whatever persecutions you flee, when you are becoming too comfortable with what seems safe. Just imagine Jesus asking you that question. Who do you say that I am? Forget about all the bluster, the pontificating, the popular appeal. Just answer this. Who do you say that I am? Because our answer, not just in words, but even more importantly, what we do with that answer in our lives will in fact change the world in some way. For good or ill, it's that important. Who do you say that I am? And even more, what does that mean for your life? Sometimes that answer is going to make us turn around and to head back into the city. Sometimes it will make us turn around and walk out of it. But we cannot afford to avoid it or deflect it or act like it's not a question for each of us, because it most assuredly is. Peter was a fallible human being. He, just like the Hebrew people of the First Testament, and just like all humans really, confessed God and then denied God again and again and again. We mark the confession of St. Peter on this day, but the truth is, Peter did it, had to do it, over and over. It wasn't just one day. His life was the roller coaster life that most of us live every day. We stand up tall, and then we fall, and we fail. But the good news of this story, the good news of Peter, is that it was on just this kind of humble, faulty, often unsure, completely human soul that Jesus decided to build his entire legacy, the future of his movement. He called Peter a rock. Not many other people saw that. Even Peter couldn't see that. But Jesus did what Jesus does for his disciples and for all of us. He saw Peter for what he truly was, buried in that shy, unconfident, low self-esteem. He saw the rock on which to build the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? The rest of your life in Christ depends on your answer.